You have sisters, right?
Two of them.
Two. Okay, yeah. Good. A lot of girl talk coming your way today. So this is going to be like back when you were home.
Oh, fun.
Maria Kang is back on our show because of something she posted on social media, which, you know, we could say any day of the week, probably. She knows how to get you talking. But her latest thing and viral picture really throwing people in and starting some conversations. So Maria, just for those of you who don't remember, went viral back in 2013 when she became known as the No Excuse Mom. She posted this, like, smoking hot picture of herself in the booty shorts, ripped abs, lots of cleavage. And the caption was, "What's your excuse?" And the world lost their mind. So she was back then accused of fat shaming and mom shaming and what other shaming?
All the shaming.
So now she's become like this real force and super comfortable with herself in the body image sphere, but she has a whole new message. So if you want to catch up on Maria, go back to episode 21.
Yeah.
And you can get, you know, kind of her backstory.
Season one, I think it was.
Yeah, you're right. All right. So now Maria is sharing going through an explant procedure. You ever heard of that?
Nope.
I hadn't either. I didn't know what this was. So an explanting procedure is the removal of breast implants. So Maria just did it, and her reasons of why she did it are really powerful. And it's happening at a time when Allergan, which is a major manufacturer of textured breast implants, has voluntarily recalled those implants around the world.
I've seen this, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Because of a link to cancer.
Yep.
And so there are a lot of people looking not only at the implants, but maybe looking at themselves and saying, what have I got inside me? Like, a lot of questions going on.
Yeah.
So in this Dying to Ask, Maria and a fellow fitness influencer, Sandra Augustine, are going to join us to talk about going through an explant procedure. We'll talk about why they got the breast implants in the first place. Both of them, very similar reasons. This is not funny, but it's funny. Sandra talks about buyer's remorse. It's just kind of odd, but very relatable. They're going to talk about the hell that they both said they went through for years, and they both blame their implants for their issues. And we're going to have a real frank discussion about how they feel about how their bodies look after going through this. It is a grisly procedure. Not easy. And then we'll talk about this viral picture that has, the picture is amazing. And they got together for this photo shoot and they purposely wanted to come up with like the most provocative image that they could to get people talking. And they did.
Yeah.
They did. So this is going to be a really good Dying to Ask, and I hope you guys get a lot out of it.
I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I am obsessed with knowing how people do things. They write the book, they start the company, they go from idea to reality. I call it the art of the follow-through, and I want to know how people go from A to B. This is the Dying to Ask podcast.
Maria Kang and Sandra Augustine, thank you for coming in. I'm really looking forward to this conversation today.
Thanks for having us.
So let's talk about the new picture. Not that picture. We used to say that picture from 2013, but now we have a new picture, and it's a really powerful image.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you come up with the concept for it? Was it your idea?
Of course it was Maria's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I called Sandra. I was like, Sandra.
I've got this idea. How does that go with Maria when she comes up with an idea?
Okay. Not only that, I sent over a bunch of pictures of me in different outfits, and she's like, oh, no, you're not wearing anything. Oh, okay.
That's so funny. I forgot about that. Yeah, I really wanted a picture that was going to showcase the body, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a female's body. We're talking about foreign objects that we place inside our bodies, and I just wanted our naked top and just the implants.
Check and check.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's back up just a little bit and talk about how we kind of even got to the point of this picture. Both of you have come out really publicly to talk about the fact that you experienced issues from your breast implants and made the decision to get them out, which is why the photo and this like kind of whole campaign has come about. Sandra, what was your background with getting breast implants?
I was a professional fitness competitor, and at age 43, I decided, well, I'll just get implants. I've done everything else. I decided not to have children, so I'd always put it off thinking that after I have kids, I'll get implants because all the other competitors had it. So finally, I reached a point where it wasn't going to happen for me, so I thought, I'll get implants, and I did it for my 43rd birthday.
So it was a birthday present.
It was a birthday present to myself. And within 6 weeks, I was already having problems. My very first workout back, I pulled my hip flexor, which is totally unrelated to breast implants, right? Well, the more I researched, the more we found out that it was totally connected.
So when you mentioned that, you know, you were involved in the fitness industry, for people who aren't familiar with what that means, describe kind of what you were doing and why having breast implants would be an asset for that.
Okay, so I started off, I competed for 20 years straight. So I was in my early 20s when I did sport aerobics. And
I remember
the Crystal Light.
Yes.
And then I switched over to fitness, which was basically Miss America meets sport aerobics. And we had to do a speech in an evening gown.
Really?
And then we had to do a fitness routine. I did grow up doing ballet. So I had done 16 years of tap, jazz, and ballet. Mm-hmm. So that was an easy transition
for me. This isn't like bodybuilding. This is more, it sounds a little bit more like pageants, but with a different kind of twist.
That's how it started out. It was only thing available for women that were fit was bodybuilding. And then it was aerobics competition, and then they married these things together with pageantry.
Huh.
So it is beach and evening gown, and then you still had to do your bathing suit, which is more like a bodybuilding round.
Okay.
We posed like bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And then we had a routine, fitness routine, that was a combination of sport aerobics, dance, gymnastics.
But you weren't like, you know, like the big, giant, muscly people, right?
Right. It gave avenue for women who were fit and muscular and lean but natural.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. So you make the decision at 43 to do it, and within a month, you're just not feeling good.
Yes. Within 6 weeks, you know, you're able to start working out again, and I pulled my hip flexor. Then I pulled a hamstring. Then I dislocated a shoulder, and it was one thing after another. So I was chasing all these different sports-related injuries to find out it really wasn't sports-related at all.
Because at different points in our life, it's really easy to say it's a certain age. Oh, well, you're 30.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
Oh, well, you're 40.
Exactly.
Yeah. So really, like, people are looking at completely different things.
So I was super fortunate because I had a physical therapist that had been with me before implants, and he said, Sandra, this is not your body. Your body's totally different before and after implants. He goes, I don't know what it is, but I know it is your implants. So he met with my surgeon to find out what exactly is involved with under the muscle implants. So what they do is they take the underside of your pectoralis major, they slice it open, create a pocket, and then they slip in the implants. Well, when you already are overmuscular for what your frame really dictated, you know, I trained at this point for 20 years. So I really had a lot of muscle on a little frame. Well, you only have so much connective tissue to hold together. And what happens is it has to start taking it from somewhere else. So again, think about it. You're putting on your nylons, and the anatomical crotch does not line up with the crotch of the nylons. So you don't keep yanking on the waistline. Mm-hmm. You start from the toes, and you move that nylon all the way up your leg until the crotch of the nylon meets your anatomical crotch.
You following all this, Jeff?
Sorry, I tuned out.
Well, the sheath surrounding your muscles does the same thing. So my sheath that actually starts at my toe is the same one that goes all the way up to my chest and then goes all the way up to my ear. So it's just one continuous sheath that holds together your muscles. So I would wake up in the morning with my fingers looking like claws. I had swollen wrists, chronic tendonitis at my elbows. I couldn't brush my hair unless I was flipped upside down.
Wow. And that's all pretty quickly.
And I dislocated a rib. I separated my shoulder. Like I said, it was one thing right after another.
Now, Maria, your experience is completely different because you were much younger when you made the decision. So how did you make the decision to do implants?
You know what's interesting when I hear you talk, Sandra, is that it was kind of like the same mentality of, let me just get this. It wasn't really a big thought. It was just, let's do it, you know? So for me, it was because of competition. Same thing. It was pageants, though. It wasn't fitness at the time.
Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, everyone else is doing it. It's so normalized. I had just won a national Filipina pageant, and I was going to go compete in Manila. And over there, they're just hardcore when it comes to pageantry.
Yeah.
Really. Like, I was paparazzi following me for 3 weeks. When
seriously?
I was there. Yes. And so as soon as I got off the plane, I mean, my director here said, Maria, you have to get this done, because I was at the time, you know, 20 pounds lighter than I am right now. And I had, my chest was probably a size 31 across. I mean, a 30 or 20. I was very small. And so what they do is in pageantry, they measure you and they put all your stats, they give it to the newspapers. And so anyways, I got it done.
That's awful.
It's awful. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. But, you know, but it's awful, but everything is awful in terms of, it is the way it is. And I was just saying recently that, you know, in the past, pageants was just in pageants. Like, you competed and you did a competition. Now it's just every day. It's a social media pageant.
Yeah.
Where it's everyone, it's, you know, plastic surgery is normalized, and we are judging people by the way they look, and we are celebrating fake bodies. But
we're celebrating filters, to be clear.
Fake bodies.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
But you know, so I got it done, and 3 weeks later, I was in the Philippines. Like, that's how fast it was. I didn't really think about it. I'd never wanted it before.
What are you, like, 22?
I was 22.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, Sandra and I talk about this all the time. We loved our small boobs. We were very confident women. We didn't really care. We just did it just 'cause. Like, it was just. Just because, like that.
Isn't that just wild to think about? Like, yeah. You never go in and get gallbladder surgery just because. Do you know what I mean? But, like, we'll go in and radically change our appearance.
Right.
But I bet once you guys both did it, I bet people told you how amazing you looked.
I personally never really, I was always ashamed of it, personally, just because I felt, I went through just a spiritual transformation after it. I felt like I had been objectifying myself. It always felt foreign. I lost sensation in my nipples. I definitely think that it impeded my ability to nurse my children. So I knew that it was a matter of time when I'd eventually remove it. Of course, if it stayed in my body for the rest of my life, I would have not minded it at all, because the fact is that it did make me look better. It made me look more proportioned. But it got to a point, obviously, recently, where I just dealt with a lot of just breast implant illness symptoms.
So it's been in the news a lot lately because Allergan, which has issued this voluntary recall around the world about the textured breast implants and a link to cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the one you had, Sandra, right?
So after my first set, because we did realize that under the muscle was causing all of these injuries, we took them out. I only had those for 3 years. And then, we got the texture ones because they were better. Mm-hmm. And we had them over the muscle.
So do you know for sure that both of your implants caused issues?
I do, because I specifically had red, hot, swollen spots on my breasts. And it would come and go, and it was the bacteria from all the nooks and crannies of those textured implants that was causing it. When I had them put in, within 3 months, I gained 30 pounds. Cracked, and I chalked that up to menopause. You know, by this time, I was 48.
You blamed an age again.
Exactly. So I was in my late 40s, and so I was like, of course, it's menopause. And
30 pounds is a lot, though.
Right, but you sort of think you're going crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to rationalize, I'm really, and you hear yourself complaining all the time about this hurts or that's gone, you know, and you get tired of complaining and you have to come up with a reason for it. So my reason was, it's menopause.
But for years, you just didn't feel good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was, and also because whenever you do put on weight that fast, it really does restrict your movement in your joints, and you're constantly getting sick. And you're constantly exhausted.
And so, Maria, your symptoms, you mentioned, like, desensitization. What were the other things that you were feeling where you were, like, healthy? Because you're both so fit. So you know your bodies.
Yeah.
What were the other things that you were experiencing that you were like, this is just not right?
So for me, it was chest pressure was a big one, where you'd rarely see me not massaging my left chest specifically. And then I had heart palpitations, just the fluttering of the heart, which was very weird for me. The big one was chronic fatigue, which I made the excuse that, I haven't slept in so many years.
Oh, my gosh. Like, how old is your oldest?
Yes. And so I made that as an excuse. But when my eyelids were so heavy and I literally had to talk to my husband with my eyes closed after 8 o'clock, you know, it was just bad. And so when I started to connect with other women who's also was dealing with similar symptoms, who had breast implants, they also experienced the same thing: brain fog, inflammation, the fatigue, the joint aches. I mean, I had joint issues too.
Right, which of course I was like, of course this is all menopause.
With my ankle, and I mean, I know my body so well. So and when you asked, are you sure that this was the breast implants? Well, I will tell you, you know, I explanted 7 weeks ago and I haven't had any issues in terms of fatigue, eyelid heaviness. What else is gone? Obviously, the palpitations are gone. The pressure is gone. The breast aren't, you know, the implants are not there right now. So, yes.
And the difference was that quick for you?
Oh, for me it was, it wasn't that quick, because I had a 2-week detox, which is really bad.
Yeah.
Because your body's detoxing, you know, these implants that have been in your body for several
years. Yeah, we should mention, you ran into some pretty serious complications after doing the procedure.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, coming out of it, and you're a little bit longer out of it, Sandra, I mean, like, you feel different.
Absolutely. For the first 3 months, I couldn't even stand up because not only did they have to remove my implants, but they had to do the scar tissue removal, which was 2.5 pounds. And that went from my shoulders all the way down to below my groin. So I have a scar from one hip, like the backside of my hip, all the way around to the other side of my hip. And what they had to do is remove all the skin that was across my abdomen and pull the skin from my back and stretch it down. So I was hunched over for 3 months.
Sounds crazy.
It sounds awful.
It sounds absolutely awful. This is not normal. Everybody knows.
Right. So I did. My body, what it did was it just created a whole entire wall of scar tissue trying to protect the actual implants from touching any of my organs.
But Maria, you now, a little bit out of it, feeling, you feel different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I have a way more energy. Like, I used to be that person that would work from, like, 5 a.m. to 12 midnight, and I would have so much energy, but it got to a point where I literally had to be in bed by 8 o'clock every single night because I couldn't stay up, and I had taken naps throughout the day, and then I'd wake up in the morning, and I'd still be very tired. It was really interesting. I knew something was wrong. And I love the quote from Lao Tzu, and I have to bring philosophy into this, but I love it when he said, you know, you only get better when you're tired of being sick. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, you know what? I know Sandra had her explant surgery, and I called her, and I said, give me your surgeon. Let's make this happen. I want to get this out like yesterday.
And even for as long as it took me to recover physically, it took me a full year before I was able to start working out again. I felt so much better.
Yeah. And then comes the decision to take the picture and to share the journey with other people, because you got a lot of people who are listening now. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about what the reaction has been to a really provocative, but really kind of cool picture that's got a lot of women talking. We'll do that right after this.
Hey there, quick time out for a favor for your friend Fitz. If you are enjoying this podcast, and I assume you are because you're still listening, right?
Hopefully.
I hope so. Would you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, please? You can do it straight from the podcast app. Rate us by stars. Heads up, 5 is the best.
5 is the best.
The best.
Our boss
loves the 5. Yeah. Or you can write us a short review on what you like or maybe what you'd like to see in future podcasts.
What was it like taking that picture? The picture that's
really interesting.
Gone viral once again. Yeah.
We're naked, bunch of naked women in it.
Well, I had 2 years of taking naked pictures of myself, showing my friends my scars just to let them know what they were getting into. And even as terrible as my scars look, I look so butchered up, but I don't care.
We didn't care.
I just don't care. I feel so great.
But you know what we were really feeling when we took those pictures is we felt very mission oriented. This is going to be powerful.
Absolutely.
We're trying to tell a story. We're trying to tell, you know, make a movement happen here. You know, so it was really a special period. I think we knew something was going to happen out of these pictures.
Okay, so what did happen? I mean, obviously it was like,
yeah.
And then lots of comments. But like, Maria, I've seen you interviewed and quoted around the world in the last couple of weeks. I mean, you've really, like, you've captured attention with this again. Yeah. And a lot of that, truthfully, is due to the No Excuse Mom picture from 2013. I mean, you have a platform and are using it in a different kind of way, but what was the reaction that came in?
Well, you know, I think that, and you go back to that No Excuse picture, I think the obsession when it comes to me and the things that I do, especially specifically with this, is the fact that people are kind of saying, you know, putting it in my face. Like, what's your excuse? Look at your excuse now. Or look, here you are. You have always promoted this unsustainable, unnatural look for moms, especially. And now you're definitely unnatural because you had implants and now you're regretting it. Ha ha. You know, it's one of those sad things.
But some of it. But then there were a lot of people who were positive.
Totally.
You know? There are a lot of people have been positive.
Totally.
I've had so many people DMing me wanting to find out more about my story. And do you think I have? I'm like, well, I don't know what you have.
I can only tell you to diagnose them.
I can only tell you what my symptoms are. But I've had quite a few women who have had total mastectomies. Then they got implants. and now are having the same same things going on with them that I had.
Yeah.
Maria, will you read one of these posts that you wrote? Here you go. I highlighted it for you, but read that one for us.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about like what went into the thought behind the post.
Okay. So it says, "Dear followers, I'm sorry."
Oh, the two words they all wanted to hear.
"I don't like regrets, but I have a few in life. As I look at my scarred, numb, and deflated breasts today, I regret ever thinking they weren't good enough. I fell into this insecurity trap. I remember the day I made the decision to augment my breasts clearly. I didn't research. I never thought about needing or wanting it before, but when I was told it was something I had to do to win, I did it, without question. A part of me died that day. For years after I struggled with binge eating, bulimia, body dysmorphia, and depression, I felt disconnected in the objectification of my body. While uncomfortable, it took years to remove them. I became pregnant multiple times, built businesses, and traveled often. Those are all excuses, though. The truth is, I was still scared and insecure. I was stuck in the social media world where fake physiques are rewarded, liked, and valued. I feared my husband's opinion. I liked how I looked in clothes and swimsuits. I was vain, and I own that."
Okay, so much to go into. All right, let me just, I'm making a note here
because I don't really want
to. That was a great
post.
How long did it take you to write that? And it actually went on a little bit longer.
Yeah, it is.
We kind of cut it off, but how long did that take you to write?
Like 10 minutes.
What? Yeah. Are you serious?
I write really fast, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
10 minutes?
Uh-huh.
Do you have anyone proof those things, or are you just
no.
Go?
No.
You go?
No, I'm usually... Yeah. I'm usually on the toilet.
She's a very good writer.
Whoa. I'm just kidding.
Well, where else are you going to get privacy when you've got three kids?
Exactly.
Right? Wow. Well, that's powerful. If you came up with that in 10 minutes, probably the two most powerful words in that are "I'm sorry." I think they're the most powerful words in the English language. Was that intentional because you knew that would catch attention, or is it genuinely how you feel?
It's genuinely how I felt at that moment. I was like, how do I feel? And I do go through a stage where I like, let me just erase that. That's not how I felt. And then how do I really feel? And I really felt, you know, I'm sorry.
Not only sorry to your fans, but you're sorry to yourself.
Oh, totally. I'm sorry to and that's where I started it and how I ended it. I didn't read that part, but how I ended it was I'm really sorry about normalizing this unnatural physique. Because honestly, especially in the fitness industry, 80% of women have breast implants because they're so lean that you need to add some fat, like not fat, but obviously implants to
shape,
create the illusion that you're still quote unquote feminine, right? So yeah, I don't like being part of the problem, period.
It's so interesting. Okay, let's talk about, and I'm not picking on your husband.
Okay.
I'm talking about just like, I'm not picking on men in general. Don't look at me. Jeff's looking at me. But I think that you hit on something that is probably very true, that a lot of people, maybe you're doing it for yourself because you want to feel better.
Totally.
But there's got to be a part that makes this very difficult because maybe you might not feel as attractive or be as attractive to men in your life. Was that a part of it? And do you hear that from people when they're DMing you and asking you to diagnose over the internet?
No, absolutely. And I remember after my first set, I was so over it. My husband said, please. I'm like, all right, fine. Because it really still didn't feel like that big of a deal for me. I'll just go get, because I really thought that there was not going to be a problem if I did the implants over the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I went back the third time and said, I've got this infection, let's get them out, my husband said, we'll find out if it's just that one. My doctor was really good, a surgeon. I'm like, I'm just going to ask you.
Was he thinking, like, just leave one?
No, absolutely.
That's
weird. Maybe there's a different type of implant you can get. Maybe there's a different type of procedure. Because in his defense, the first type of procedure really did cause all of my sports injuries. But however, the second time we went in, the doctor said, you know, Sandra, some implants just don't suit a woman's body, and some women just reject it from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're one of them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I was so excited to go home and tell my husband. No, he said I can't have him.
You know what's funny is that the way you talk is the way I talk to my husband, too, because I was really annoyed. I was with him because, I mean, he's never known me without it, right? But, I mean, he would say, Marie, you know you need to get yours removed and redone because they say every 15 years, right? I was at that mark. And he said, and there's new and improved ones, you know, there's, and he, it just really bothered me that he didn't do enough research or didn't really listen to me and my symptoms and my pain. I just felt so annoyed. I wrote a blog post
and about I also how annoyed think that I was. Yeah. I got tired of hearing myself complain, and I think he just had tuned me out.
Yeah.
And he just didn't hear my daily complaints about joints, fatigue, and swelling.
This is my message to women who are listening right now, because oftentimes people say, I'm doing this for myself. I don't think so. I think when we choose to do something, we're doing it because we want to win something, because media tells us what beauty and, you know, femininity looks like.
And we're trying to please our partners.
Or we're trying to please our partners. I mean, you're not really doing it for yourself.
Or sometimes just each other.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think
a lot
of like what we do as women, it's to please other women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I really believe that.
Oh, totally. You like, know? You want to get your hair done to look good.
My clothes, yeah.
Like, better
absolutely.
Than no, every woman at the wedding party.
My husband can't appreciate my clothes the way you can.
Right? Exactly.
That is so true.
That's so true.
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, but this is absolutely something you have to do it for yourself, especially when you choose to explant. You know, mm-hmm. you can't look at or think about who or what this affects.
And it is very expensive.
It is expensive.
Put it on your credit. Cards.
And it's expensive to maintain it. So that's one of the reasons why I chose to remove. Like, people kept asking me, are you sure these are the implants that's causing this? I'm like, you know what? I don't know. You don't know till you do it. But I will tell you something. I will, why not just remove any, you know.
Right, exactly.
Any and everything that could possibly cause something.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right? And I'd rather do this while I'm young. Because I can't imagine, I've seen other women go through this, doing it when they're 60.
And we did do all the process of elimination. We started off with the water. We started off with our foods. Uh-huh. We started off with the shampoo.
Let me sleep more.
The lotions we're using. You know, we went through all the different toxicities that we could possibly get rid of. And we're like, no, we're living and eating clean.
And I was just saying to you that, you know, we're part of a Facebook group, Implant illness Healing by Nicole. But there's like almost 90,000 women on that group just talking about their implants, who are talking about their explant experience. But it's so laughable, you know, quote unquote, that we say we must be the healthiest, sickest group of women, you know, because we have good diets, we're exercising, we're doing whatever we can to make sure that we're feeling good, but we're not feeling good. And what is it? Well, we all have implants.
Don't you think, too? Especially if you are a pretty fit person, you just know when something's
wrong. Absolutely.
It's like with your kids.
Absolutely.
You know, even if somebody tells you, no, that's normal. No, I know it's wrong.
Yeah.
You just, I don't know what that is, if it's just like
it's instinct. It's
just gut instinct.
Women's intuition.
Yeah. Yes.
But then the flip of it is having to be an advocate for yourself, which is really tough in the medical world right now.
Oh, totally.
Especially tough right now.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was really happy to see, not happy because it's really sad, like 2-3 weeks ago when they finally linked breast implant.
Right. So when I had mine taken out, they said there might be a link.
Yeah.
And I didn't even do the research to get them removed.
Mm-hmm.
I just was at that point where I knew this is what it was. I don't care what anybody told me. I just knew this is what it was. Sure enough, I started reading articles afterwards and
Can you imagine?
My specific one was perhaps linked to.
Can you imagine having those recalled implants in you right now and not being able to afford an explant? You know what I mean? I mean,
what does it cost?
An explant costs, and I mean, depends. A lot of women get a lift, some get fat transfers, but, and some of, there are many doctors out there that are really sought after, so they really charge a lot. So I'd say
mine was more.
$4,000 to $12,000.
Mine was more than yours, right?
Well, you had more done, too.
Right.
You had a lot of scar tissue, and you had a lift.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
no, you didn't get a lift. You had a fat transfer.
I did the fat transfer to try to recreate breasts, so it was basically just trying to, I should let it go. I would have been just fine. You know, again...
Just because I'm curious, where do they take the fat from?
They took it from my legs.
Okay.
So now with my mom, I will never wear shorts again.
She has just a little dent in her skin, and you can't see it.
I do.
You see it.
I'm 53, so my skin is not tight. So once you removed something from underneath that skin, now it sags, and I have dent, and I have, you know.
There's just complications.
You have your health.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
True.
No, I totally agree.
You have some peace of mind.
But going forward, for anybody who is interested in doing the fat transfer, it's really not worth it. You know, you wear a padded bra, nobody knows.
So what did it cost to do the procedure?
Mine?
Just ballpark.
I want to say mine was closer to
$8,000.
Yeah, yours was
more. Mine was less. I just got the X-Plant.
But
I didn't get a lift.
Mine was also a 4.5 hour procedure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of all the skin they had to remove.
And that's not covered by insurance for most people.
No. Right. For most people, no.
So it's a big decision for people to make, not only just on the personal side, but financially as well.
Right. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
All right. So let's take another break. And then afterward, let's talk realities, because you can say, don't let your partner influence you. Don't let the other girls influence you. Don't let society and media influence you. But the bottom line is you look in the mirror and you know how you feel about yourself. So I'm going to ask you like real candid question about how you feel afterward. And then we'll talk more about just like why we feel the way we do to make these changes in ourselves these days. I think things have changed a lot in the last 10 years. And personally, I feel like social media gets to blame for everything and maybe deservedly so. We'll get there right after this.
Do you love politics? Well, check out The Trail. Anyone who wants to be president has to go to New Hampshire first. This is a new Hearst Television podcast from our friends at WMUR-TV in New Hampshire.
How fun.
I know. The host, Adam Sexton, interviews all the people who want to live at 1600 Pennsylvania. And the way this 2020 campaign is shaping up, Adam's got a whole lot of episodes to record. You might have to help him with that. Check out The Trail from New Hampshire to the White House, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go like way back real quick. Do you remember like when you got the implants? Seeing yourself, you know, once you'd recovered, like, and like, did you think you looked like amazing? Like, what was that? What was that feeling?
I had buyer's remorse.
You did?
My whole concept going into it was.
It's not a Chevy.
No. And it wasn't a Porsche. I went into it because I was very muscular. I'm 5'1". My contest weight was 112. Right now you're looking at me and I'm 105. So can you imagine me with another 15 pounds of muscle? So I tried to create some femininity to my body. That's really what I was going for.
Okay.
And I look like a dude with boobs. And that's, and I could not find any clothes to fit. I just did not like it at all. I felt it just made me look even more top heavy, as in a muscular way.
Okay.
And I was never a cleavage girl, so pushing them together and showing that it was my cleavage and not my thick back or broad shoulders,
and I think
wasn't an option.
I think you're talking to two women that really used the breast for competitive reasons.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I think other women, when they went out, they loved it.
Well, you must have gotten a lot of positive affirmation, though, because if you were doing the pageant thing, like, you did what you were told to do.
Sure.
So it must have been positive feedback.
It was positive in the competition.
Right, exactly.
For you, I think it's positive when
you're competition.
Competing.
Right, absolutely.
But in real life, it wasn't that positive.
Right.
That's how I felt. Yeah. I mean, I looked great in a string bikini because they put you know, I had to wear string bikinis. It looked amazing. I didn't have to wear like 4 inches of padding, right?
And duct tape.
Yeah, I did
and
everything.
And worry about something slipping
yes,
out.
Yeah, exactly. That was. I've had
I
that
was
problem.
Always worried about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, in terms of that, it was amazing.
Right.
But in real life, I felt a little awkward.
Totally.
So
yeah.
Then let's fast forward to after the, I said flast, fast forward, sorry. Fast forward. So now you have the procedure.
Yeah.
You've mentioned scarring, Sandra.
Yes.
Yeah. What was that like then to see your body after all of this?
I had less buyer's remorse
<That's good. laughs>
for this than I did the implant. It did not bother me. And I knew it was horrible. And I was thinking, going back to my competition days, well, how can I cover this up? I was so good at being able to hide, conceal, whatever it was on stage that, you know, behind the scenes.
Did your husband care?
He was shocked. He had no idea it was going to be as extreme as it was. And the doctor didn't know either. The doctor knew I had scar tissue, but didn't know, you know, he kept going lower and lower and lower and pulling off more and more and more scar tissue. So nobody knew how
no,
bad
I mean,
it was.
No, I mean, was Chad shocked at your boobs after you explained?
Oh, no, I think he was more shocked at the scars.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Okay, same question to you, Fran, since you went there. But what, I mean, because you posted about going out once you're feeling better.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to find something in your wardrobe
was
that was going to fit.
I mean, number one, I'm still like in the early stages. So I haven't gone bra shopping yet because usually it fluffs out, you know, at least you're promising me.
Absolutely. It did.
Because I mean, the truth is I'm deflated. You know, I probably look how most women look after they've nursed 3 kids. And I have scarring, and the wounds are still there, so it's really hard to wear anything.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, it was very freeing when I went out, and I actually went braless, and I just didn't care.
It's awesome.
It's amazing. More than physically, mentally, when you've made the point that you just don't care, that it's all about your health, everything changes.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And part of that also, I think, is age.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
God, it's always getting back to age.
It's true.
Maturity.
What you decide in your 20s is different from your 30s, which, by the way, because I've known Sandra for decades, right? When you did get your implants, and I remember seeing you for the first time, I remember it was like a green dress. It was like at somewhere. It was like art show or whatever. I was so shocked to see her.
Everybody was shocked to see her with boobs.
I'm like, why did you get boobs, Sandra? Like in my head, or maybe I said it
out loud. Everybody was shocked.
Because it was, to me, it was unnecessary. She had already competed successfully in so many things. Like there was no reason, like at this point, why would, it's like a 60-year-old to me getting boobs. That's how I felt like then, you know? Like, what's the point? You already kind of lived your life, made your success. Why are you
But I was still
competing. Yeah, and what were you at the time, like 28 or something?
Just 43, which is older in the fitness realm, right?
Right. And I thought I was still going to continue to compete for a few more years, but I could not do past that.
Yeah, it's
which is so ironic. Isn't that ironic? I got it for competition purposes, but that was what kept me from competing. Mm-hmm.
So what are you telling people now? Because you got a lot of people listening to you. I mean, this image is just, it's opened this window for a lot of people. What's your message to them now?
I wish I did not do it. And I can't tell people, don't do it, you'll be sorry. I would love to be able to do that, but I can't. All I could say is that I sure wish I did not do it, and I wish somebody had told me what I know now. Mm-hmm. And so that is my mission, to tell everybody what I know now.
There was no information really out there regarding risks involved with breast implants.
But
Until recently, really. I mean, you've heard of silicone. I had saline because silicone, they had issues with silicone in the 90s.
And for me, I had tons of friends, competitors with implants. And I was talking about my injuries. Like, oh, yeah, I had that too. I had that. I'm like, why didn't you tell me? Why? And they were already going through this, but they were still willing to do their sport with their implants and were constantly getting cortisone shots.
Yeah. The truth is we do know people who have implants still who are dealing with a lot of just symptoms.
In denial.
And they don't, and they're in denial. We were in denial. I was totally in denial.
Absolutely. I thought it was crazy.
I mean, you look better. you're competing with other younger women. You're competing with people who have a lot of surgeries. You know, I'm talking about whether it's competition, whether it's in social media, because, you know, you make a lot of money if you're a big influencer.
Yeah.
And you've got perfect looking bodies, you know? So my hope is that people listening are more educated, that they will do their due diligence, that they'll know that because they're listening to this, there might be a reason why. You know, a lot of people have made comments that I've been thinking about doing this for 4 years, and I'm so happy that you're coming out with this because I've decided not to. So that's, you know, obviously we can't tell people what to do. We can only share what our experience was.
But are you guys anti-breast implant? Because if we have a plastic surgeon listening, they're probably saying, yelling back to saying, there are a lot of people who have no issues at all, ladies. Like, they're just fine. Or maybe they need to, after a mastectomy, they want to reconstruct and they feel better. Are you guys
anti? I'm anti.
You are.
I'm totally anti.
Only
as well.
Because, you know,
why take the risk?
You don't want to take the risk. And also, you know, saline also, you have that silicone shell, which is what I have.
Right.
Silicone is just toxic for your body. I mean, there's like 40 toxins within silicone
And even, let's say,
why would you want to put that in your body?
Let's say there are no toxins. Well, then you go back to the autoimmune system, where it finds a foreign body, whether it's toxic or not,
and
it overreacts.
It.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I keep reading that there are people who are going into cosmetic surgeons' offices, and they are kind of, they call it Instagram influenced, where, you know, we live in this, we've talked about this before, Jeff, this curated world of, you know, faux authenticity, if that even makes sense. But, you know, like, people are going in and they're getting procedures because they really just can't stand the way their nose looks on Instagram. And, you know, they want to appear that way. And like you said, Maria, this is a business for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Much like pageants were, back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I had great sponsorships.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel like it's interesting that, like, that's what's fueling a lot of people wanting to make big changes with their bodies. Uh-huh. But also, you guys have kind of proven you can use it as a platform to just educate as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very sad. I can't imagine growing up right now in my 20s with social media and being so impressionable, you know? I mean, I don't even want to name names of the people out there that are just highly celebrated, and you obviously know they've had a ton of plastic surgery. You know,
Does it rhyme with Kardashian?
I mean, not she. It rhymes with
not naming.
Rhymes with Jenner. And then there's also the celebrities, you know, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj. I mean, now I'm naming people that I'm going there, but it's true. And it's sad. And I think that we just need better role models out there.
You know, I feel like the big thing that you guys are talking about is like, just do your research, ask some questions. Because it is interesting that you both say that, like, looking back, you made, and we've all made big decisions.
Right.
I mean, like, we've all made big decisions, like flipping a coin or, you know, do, like, spend the time. Mm-hmm. Spend the time and ask the questions.
Yes, absolutely.
And as women, we're, like you said, Sandra, we're not real great about sometimes sharing the bad stuff.
Right.
And especially in a world where we curate right. the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens next?
What happens next?
That's the first moment of silence. It's 40 minutes.
I don't know. I'm waiting for my breast to fluff up still.
Well, I'm actually really excited because, again, because my surgery was so off the charts, unusual, I'm just now my real self again.
Yes.
As of January this year, all of a sudden I realized I have nothing to complain about anymore. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel great. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I have nothing to complain about. What is going to be my go-to complaint? And I have started exercising again and started lifting heavy weights as of 2 months ago. I feel just amazing.
So your bottom line is what?
My bottom line is I can't wait to do what I used to. I'm not going back to competing, but I have gotten a couple more competitors working with me that I'm working on their choreography. So I'm back on the gymnastics mats and the ballet bar, and I'm able to have fun with it.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is I'm excited because I feel like this is my body. Like that, I feel totally free. It's kind of like giving birth again, to be having a rebirth in yourself. So I can't wait when I finally heal up more to finally just move without restriction, without limitation, without feeling fatigue, without getting injured as fast, you know, all of that. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, thanks to both of you for being so open. I had just real quick backstory because Jeff's like, we're really running over time. I was on vacation in June and I had turned my phone off for a week, which is awesome, by the way. Totally recommend that. And when I opened it back up was when, Maria, you were talking about your explant surgery. And I emailed Maria, I'm like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, she did.
And can we talk about it? But I was so moved by like how, well, I mean, you're public about a lot of things. But that part of it was just really interesting. And I think it's so powerful that you started with that post with I'm sorry, because it made people listen.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting conversation. And given what's happened in the last couple of months around the world, there's a real...
Yes.
There's a real big ear yes. right now, not only just for that kind of procedure, but for all of us taking control of our health and our bodies and asking a lot more questions than maybe we used to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we solved the world's problems. Yeah, pretty good. Sandra, how do we keep up with you on, are you on social media?
Yes. SAS Fitness.
SAS. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
S-A-S-S.
S-A-S-S.
Okay.
Yep.
Fitness.com?
Yep.
Okay, great. Great way to find out. And then Maria, your favorite places to connect?
Facebook, Maria King, and Maria King Fitness on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see what your next viral picture is.
So remember in our Getting to Know You episode, you said that you almost were a host on a well-known talk show?
I did. Yeah.
So that was today. At least from my perspective, that's what.
Oh, is that what it felt like?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
It felt like that, huh?
Yeah. It was good. It was in a good way. Yeah.
I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I find the topic really interesting, mm-hmm. and I really am just blown away that there are people, not only with this, but who are willing to share so much of themselves, because that's not my nature. Oddly enough, I am probably not the person who would go on to social media and tell you every nitty-gritty bad thing that's going on. In fact,
yeah.
I'll tell you what, I don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not my nature. So I am actually really appreciative that people are willing to do that, because the truth is we all go Google.
Yeah.
We Google the heck out of things when we need to know something, and it's because people like Sandra or like Maria are willing to tell you the good, the bad, and especially the ugly of what something is like that we get a lot of that information.
Yeah.
Was that a good thing that it seemed like a talk show or not?
I think it was fitting.
It was okay?
It worked.
All right.
Yeah, that was good.
So real quickly, ratings and reviews. Like,
yeah.
Awesome. Some really good ones have come in, and I wanted to recognize one of them. Rex Mimi said, when you started your podcast, I hadn't actually discovered podcasts yet. More recently, I've discovered lots of podcasts, and I started listening to yours, and I love it. I love the conversational style talk.
like a talk show, the laughter, and the down-to-earth chemistry between the two of you. So thank you very much.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Someone's really going down the rabbit hole of all the podcasts in the world right now.
Oh, that's me. Love it. It's the best rabbit hole ever. So thanks for doing it, because those ratings and reviews are a big, big deal. So if you got something out of this show today, I would love to hear you talking about it. So if you could go on to, if you're on Apple, it's super easy. You just go on to your little Apple podcast app, and it says write a review.
Yeah.
You hit that, you give it a little subject line, you write something, or if you're a little short on time, you can give it the stars. Jeff loves five.
Five's
he's got
great.
This many, one hand's worth, would be really great. And
if you've already done a review, you can do another one.
Yes, you can.
Being
an overachiever. And let us know on Instagram what you thought of today's show, or if there's a topic you'd like us to explore, you can always reach out. We do read all those DMs that come in. You can follow me on Instagram at RunReadSip. The show can be found at Dying to Ask Podcast.
I can be found at Producer Jeff with a G.
Always.
Yep.
With a G. Two Fs.
Two Fs.
One G, two Fs. And thank you for checking it out.